Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
When we sing that song, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'd be. We're not going to see what we would call three thrones up there. There's one throne. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. We're only going to see Jesus Christ when we get to heaven. We're not going to see God the Father. Why? He's invisible. Peter talked about to the invisible God. So when we get to heaven, the only part of the Godhead we will ever see is Jesus Christ. But when we see him, we see the Father. Remember that? He was talking in John chapter number 14, and that was to Philip. When Philip says, yeah, show us, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. In other words, it will satisfy us. And Jesus replied, haven't I been with you long enough, you hard-headed Baptist preacher? Been with you 3.5 years, and by now you should know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, which is in heaven. So when he talks about these things, and when we get to the next chapter, and a hand is reaching from the throne and that book, and Jesus takes that book and he opens that book because he's the only one worthy to open that book. By the way, that's the title deed to the universe, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. Well, I thought you said that you won't see God in heaven. Well, that's an illustration so we can understand what's taking place. But just so you, and I'll get to that later on, I don't want to muddy the waters here, but just so you'll know that Jesus Christ is the only part of the Godhead we will ever see. Okay, we won't see the Father. We will not see the Holy Ghost. We mentioned the Holy Ghost, and let me just put this and I'm going to move on. Often we say the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost, and we know it's one of the same, but why is there a difference? Again, not too many people will talk about this, and I've never even read this anywhere, but it's come to my own study, my own conclusion after years of studying this, of different things, that when it mentions the Holy Ghost, it mentions the God of the Godhead. It speaks of his name, okay? Matthew 28 speaks of that. And baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when it speaks of the Holy Spirit, it speaks of his working. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is this. And there's some passages of Scriptures that one verse will say the Holy Ghost, and then the very next verse it says the Holy Spirit. And some people would criticize our Bible, and I hope you have a good King James Bible, and they would criticize our Bible and say, well, the people who put the Bible together, they were confused, and it either should be Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. No, you have no mistakes in your word, in God's word, no mistakes. And so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it was inspired. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were carried as they wrote these things down. If you will, the Holy Spirit was the divine overseer. The Bible talks about this and all. But anyway, so there's no mistakes in your Bible. The only mistakes is in your noggin. If you have a problem with that, you know, the problem's here, not here. So the Holy Ghost is his proper name. The Holy Spirit is the working of the Holy Ghost. Are you following? Or not, you agree with that? If you can come up with a better explanation, I'm all ears. Believe me, I've read after a lot of people, and nobody has addressed that I've found. I'm sure there's somebody out there much smarter than me. But we talk about the seven spirits of God in verse number 5. Here it is again. There's only one Spirit, Holy Spirit. There are not seven spirits out there. What it's talking about is a complete work of God, and we looked at that earlier in the book of Revelation, where it talked about the seven spirits in Revelation chapter number 1, and it goes back to the book of Isaiah, the working of the Holy Spirit and all his work. But I said all that to say this. Let me get this. I got 10 minutes, and I got 11 or 12 verses I got to deal with, and I'll never get it done. I believe when it says after this, he's talking about after the things that takes place upon this earth. And then in verse number 1, where the last verse, it says hereafter, which must show the things hereafter. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter number 1. And it's verse number, which I must show you the things which come. I should have marked this down. Y'all help me find it. It's in chapter number 1. He talks about this. Okay, John, verse number 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which was and is to come. And then he goes down a little bit farther. Let's see, he loosed us, and I should have marked this. Okay, verse number 8. And I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which saith the Lord, which was, which is, and was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And then he goes down, let's see, there's an actual verse in here. Is it 19? I hadn't flipped my page. Yes, thank you. Write all the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Again, that's the outline of the book of the Revelation. Things which are, which the things which you've seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And we get to verse number 1, and it says, I will show you these things which must be hereafter. And he's caught up. In verse number 2, it says, immediately I was in the Spirit. Now, whether or not he went bodily or literally in the Spirit, I think of the Apostle Paul when he was there he was stoned at Lystra. And there at Lystra, he was stoned, and the Apostle Paul later writes, there's a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but he was called up to the third heaven. Again, Paul wasn't sure if he was called up bodily in the body or out of the body, or it was just his spirit was in his body. Probably, again, his body probably laid there in the ground, on the ground outside of Lystra. And it was his spirit that was called up, and Paul was called into the third heaven. Y'all follow what I'm talking about? After he was stoned and he was left for dead. Well, I don't believe his bodily was raised up and went to heaven. Probably, like he's talking about here, his spirit was taken up, and he saw some things, the Apostle Paul said, that was unlawful to utter. He saw some things, and that's why, also, if you read later, that he says, I think it's 2 Corinthians, where he talks about a messenger, Satan. It was there, he was sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted among men, because the Apostle Paul saw some wonderful things in heaven, and he came back, and so that God would keep him humble, so to speak, unless he would be exalted. Hey, let me tell you what I saw in heaven. God didn't want Paul to do that. So he called a thorn in the flesh. You've heard messages about a thorn in the flesh. And I can't fathom preachers talk about, they don't know what the thorn in the flesh is. Well, maybe it's his eyesight or whatever. And in that passage of scripture, he's so clear about what the thorn in the flesh was, a messenger of Satan. How he was allowed, God allowed that messenger to buffet him, literally beat him up mentally, where, no, I won't say he was depressed all the time, but lest he would be exalted. He didn't have to take, what's them pills you have to take sometime when you're depressed? I don't know. I don't take these things. What do you call them? Prozac, whatever these things that kind of get you up, you know, get moving up. Paul didn't have to do that kind of stuff. But at the same time, we understand that Paul had saw some things, again, in the Spirit, and John saw some things, said in the Spirit, behold, a throne, and it was in heaven, and one that sat on it. And then he describes this Jesus who sat on this throne. Was he, you know, or God, whoever, again, I'm not going to argue with anybody. By the way, sitting on the throne describes that he was the sovereign one. There's nobody, because he's on the throne, he's in control. He's on the throne. And let me give you a quick outline. I blowed my lesson. I got 2 pages here, and I hadn't even started it. Verse number 1 is a rapture scene, a rapture scene. Verses number 2 through 8 is a reigning scene, R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G. And in that is a firm judgment and a flawless judgment in verse number 3, where he says, looked like jasper. I tell you, my eyes are bad. And a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about him in the sight, like unto the emerald of God. So we see the judgment of God. And we also see the mercy of God. When it talks about the rainbow, there's the judgment. And then the mercy is pictured in that rainbow. Remember the rainbow with Noah?
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.